Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Oh, well, hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 20, Episode 5 of the Daily Zeitgeist for March. What are we going to call this? March 2nd, I guess, is technically the date on Earth. And my name is not Jake O'Brien, or Jack O'Brien, for that matter. It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Grail. Me say Grail. Gray light, come on, me one go home. Thank you so much to Scott Nutting. I hope that's not a present tense thing and your last name. On Twitter for that, a.k.a. my man. Thank you so much because you know how much I love to sing because I am a guy who didn't get to sing enough as a child because people told me I had a bad voice, which might be true. And now I'm rambling on. But I would like to introduce my very special guest host. I mean, one of the most prolific guests and just podcast guests in the history of podcasting, from what I understand. Please welcome writer, comedian, mother of leeches, mother of the internet, just general fantastic human being, Jamie Loftus.
A mother. Hi.
Just a mother.
My name is Jamie Loftus, a.k.a. the first woman to have human Piscean sex, which means fish.
Thank you.
And the first woman, first American woman to lose her virginity to a Zamboni.
All right. Who was the first woman?
The first woman, I don't know. She was Swedish.
So she beat you to that. Well, look.
Swedes were fucking the Zambonis, but I got there.
Well, look, you're at least a trendsetter in this country. And in our third seat, we are joined by a guest that is near and dear to my heart. We have so many overlapping interests. He's only been on the show once, but we're glad to have him back. It is comedian, writer, activist, hacktivist,
father,
hype beast, father, wrestling aficionado, film aficionado. I could keep going on. What other things
sex
can I add
machine.
On? Sex machine. Mr. Dave Schilling. Hi, Dave.
What's up, man?
How are you?
It's so good to be back here. I feel like I'm at home right now.
Thank you so much.
Mostly because there's a shower in the bathroom.
Right.
Just in case, you know, it gets real grimy and sticky on the show.
As you may or may not know, Jack sweats a lot. So sometimes he needs a post-show shower.
Yeah, Jack is from like a diaper sweating family.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we talked about this on when
sweats
we were on.
So much he needs diapies.
That was his grandfather. Yeah, he used to put diapers in his sleeves of his jacket to
very absorbent. That's cool.
Maybe he's just saying he's having another kid, but he just needs to explain all the diapers around his house.
Well, we won't speculate on that. Dave, just really quickly, you and I are both, we have the really sad distinction of being Arsenal supporters.
Yes.
Out in the UK in the English Premier League.
What's that?
It's a team that's really underperforming in a very tragic way.
What sport?
Football or soccer.
Yeah, it's a soccer thing.
Okay.
Kickball.
I'm just going to take a quick nap.
Anyway, we've had back-to-back terrible losses to Manchester City, and we're in a bit of a crisis as supporters because our old man, Arsene Wenger, who at one point, yes, he did change the game and brought us to glory, is starting to look like, I mean, it's time to go.
You know who else changed the game? Henry Ford. Eventually, people stopped driving those cars.
Right, and now they drive Teslas.
Exactly. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, let me get my Model T out and go on the 110 freeway. That's ridiculous.
My dad still drives a Ford Focus.
Oh, really?
05. Yeah, it's broken, though.
05 was a good year.
That is a good year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are there any parallels to this for you, for other sports fandoms that you feel like you can relate this to for someone who might not be like, who might not understand sort of where we're at in terms of being Arsenal supporters?
I would say to keep it, with teams that I love is the Dodgers with Tommy Lasorda.
Mm.
You know, was probably the greatest manager in LA Dodgers history. Maybe not Brooklyn Dodgers history, but LA Dodgers history. And, by the early 90s, he had to go. As much as people loved him and still love him, at some point you got to move on.
Yeah, the future we have to think about. We can't just keep looking back and being like, but remember that? Remember the Invincible season?
Yeah.
Remember the doubles?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I'm not sitting around thinking about, oh, man, remember when you were 17 and you threw up in that Jack in the Box parking lot?
Yeah.
That was the height of your coolness.
It was.
No, man, I've moved on.
Well, okay? I haven't. Well, let's get into this. Dave, what is something that's from your search history that lets people know kind of what you're about as a human being?
I was recently looking up whether or not babies that are 4 months old are supposed to make eye contact.
Mm. Oh, right, because you are a new father.
Yeah, my wife spends a lot of time wondering if he has developmental disabilities.
Oh, because he's not making eye contact?
No, he does. He just doesn't make enough.
Right.
I think she just wants him to constantly be staring at her.
Like she is looking at him.
Yeah, come on. Well, yeah. I'm right here.
I'm right here. Yeah.
So it's more about her insecurity that her son's not looking at her enough.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And we found that's normal, correct, for a child to not be glaring at their parents at 4 months
old? Yeah, it'd be kind of creepy.
Right.
If he's just like, he's got that really tight eye contact where it's like you're at the club and you see a person that you fancy and you just won't stop staring at him, you're not going to have any chance to go home with that person.
right.
Forget about it. My son is not going to the club yet, though.
Right.
He can't find enough girls to get
right.
in.
The ratios are fucked up.
The ratios are fucked.
It's not an age thing. It's not an age thing.
No, they're
thing.
Like, hey, my man, I would let you in, but your ratios, man.
Yeah.
You just got three girls, only two girls. Hey, three guys and two girls. I'm sorry, my man.
Hey, dog, age ain't nothing but number. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Shouts to Aaliyah.
Oof, God, rest in peace, Aaliyah. Miss her so much.
Yeah.
Dave, what's something that's underrated?
Okay, so I don't watch a lot of TV because I am a father, and we're trying not to have him watch television.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to all the dads out there.
Yeah, shout out to dads. You guys are great. Keep working hard. Shout out to the moms. You guys do hard work. We all work hard.
We're all parents.
We're all equal in this world as parents.
I'm a great parent.
You are a great parent, despite your leeches exploding.
Half man, half Zamboni parent.
Wait, how are you, just to sidetrack really quick, are your leeches okay? Or what's the state
of
your leeches?
No, they're not okay.
Okay, we'll get back to that in the Jamie
Loftus
roundup.
They're pretty sick. My leeches.
Okay, so I'm sorry, back to you, Dave.
My leeches are not okay. Yeah, we don't let him watch TV, so the TV's never on when he's awake.
Right.
Because it's just, like, he's going to watch too much television when he's five. So it's just, like, not right now. So I have to sneak TV when he's asleep. So maybe I'll watch one or two things per day.
Right.
So I don't have a lot of time for stuff that's on TV. Like, I haven't watched Atlanta yet.
Right.
I love Atlanta, but just no time. The only thing that I watch as an appointment that I have to see as soon as possible is RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Which is, like, the best show on television.
It's a great show.
By far. I'm going to RuPaul's Drag Con in May.
Are
with
going
my
to
Drag
wife.
Con? Oh,
Where
yeah.
Where is it?
It's at the convention center.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's just like, to me, drag queens are funnier than every comedian.
They are the funniest people. And they give us so much slang. And people don't realize how much we take from drag culture into mainstream culture, too.
But drag culture also, you could say, you could make the case that drag culture took a lot from black culture.
Yeah. Well, I think, yes, of course. But I think even with things like that come into the black vernacular, like shade and things like that, there are certain roots that come with drag queens and then start in the black community and then, I guess, come out to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the classic story is any marginalized group is going to create their own lingo, and then the squares, the basics, the squeenies are going to end up stealing squeenies. that lingo. The but yeah, squeenies. I use drag queen lingo all the time now.
What's your favorite drag queen word?
Oh, boy. That's a tough one. I would say that my favorite drag queen word is, oh, geez. I had it and then I blanked.
Let me tell you mine.
Okay, you go first. Yeah.
I like, there are a couple I like. Getting geeshed to the gods, getting your geesh on, like your makeup.
Oh, geisha stuff, yeah.
Exactly, but calling it the geesh is one of my favorite things. What else?
Oh, gagging. I love,
oh, gagging, yes.
That made me gag.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sure that comes from a thing that maybe is more... lascivious,
right?
Than I would think. I don't know. Maybe I'm going the wrong direction.
But
here.
Yeah, when you see something surprising.
Oh man, those new kicks. I'm gagging.
I'm gagging.
Oh baby.
Gaggery.
There we go.
Okay, now Dave, what's something that is overrated?
Overrated. I would say that a thing that is overrated is taking a bath.
Wow. Ooh, hard agree.
I don't think baths
hard
are
agree?
Cool.
Hard agree.
Mm. Oh, let me light some candles. Let me put some perfume on and get in the tub and listen to Enya. Like, that's stupid. That's
whack. We were thinking
of
very different baths.
Well, what kind of bath do you take?
You just described like a 90s commercial where like a person, yeah. Like,
it's like a Dove,
for
Dove
a phone,
bar.
For like a sex line, for a phone, like a woman in a,
right. It sounds like a very feminine form of a bath.
Call 1-800 raw dog me.
Yeah, right. I'm
that's
in the
too
bath
many
now.
Letters.
I just put on perfume and I got in the bath. Like, what? Is that necessary?
I was thinking of like a, you know what? It's been a long day. I'm going to have a bath. But it's only good for like 3 minutes.
Well, how hot do you get the water?
And then if you're like, how hot do I, like scalding hot?
So then how
it's cold? It's gotta be hot, yes.
Yeah, then how cold is your environment where the temperature is dropping that rapidly?
I live outside.
Yeah. And by that, yeah, you're
well,
just.
Here's the thing, right?
I get a cup of hot water from Starbucks and I dump it on my head.
As soon as you get into that hot ass bath, then your body temperature cools the water down.
Right.
So then it's not scalding anymore. I have to constantly be running the water to make it super duper hot again.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You have to be draining. It's a whole thing.
Well, see, in Japan, like, the bath culture is, it's the only way to bathe. Like, first you sit on a stool and you just wash your body before and
that
get clean.
That part is cool.
And then you hop in your bath, which is basically like your in-home hot tub. And you just kick it in there and relax. And usually that temperature is maintained like electronically. So I like that version of a bath. But I guess, yeah, I see a lot of people who – the bath bomb thing, I don't get.
I don't know. I feel like within 10 minutes, anyone's bath just turns into like stagnant bog water. And you're just like, yeah. This is disgusting. Because then your dirt's in there. And now you're like, let me just sit in this.
I feel like I'm like a lobster and I'm being boiled. It's just stupid. Just like
right.
Turn on, the shower's fine. What's wrong with the shower, fellas or ladies? Yeah. Get in that shower.
You just
get
like
in that shower.
But would you take the time? I guess now that like you're a parent to a young child, do you ever see being like, yeah, I could chill out in a bathtub for a little bit, or you're just like, nah, I don't have time. I got to shower and then I got to keep going.
Yeah, no, he doesn't seem like he's having a good time at all.
Right,
and he's supposed to like the bath.
Yeah.
That's,
you got
that's
toys?
Where
what kind of toys you got?
He's not ready for
four months
toys?
Yet. That's right.
What are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm thinking in my mind.
He's got a little plastic submarine. And no, he can't even grab shit
right,
yet.
Right, right. 4 months, yeah. God. Man, your son has to do better, man.
Yeah. He can't even get in the club.
Yeah, he can't even get in the club. I mean, yeah, first handle the ratios, then start playing with toys.
Bath toys.
Walk before you crawl.
Hashtag handle the ratio. Get it trending.
Get your ratios right. All right, let's get into it. Yeah, so you know what we do over here. We like to take a sample of what, you know, the world is thinking and talking about. Yes, the world, because I will get to some of your local stories at the end. Thank you so much, by the way. So please stick around to the end so I can touch on that and give you an update on some of the local stories you guys hit me with. But to start off, I always like to ask the guests, Dave, what's a myth that people believe that you just know is not true?
You know what we were just talking about? Coconut LaCroix being bad. I don't know if we talked about this the last time I was on here, but
we did, I think. Or I don't know. We've talked. I've definitely talked about this.
It's still a myth that needs to be busted. It's fine. What's the problem with coconut flavor? Why are you hating on coconut flavor?
I like coconut LaCroix. I also recently hated myself for even consuming LaCroix, and then I just had to lean into it and be like, you know what? It's everywhere.
Wait, what was this self-hate about?
I felt like I betrayed my region somehow by being like, oh, I drink LaCroix now.
What's your region?
My region, I used to drink
like
Polar Seltzer.
Oh, yeah, that's
Polar
big East Coast
seltzer.
Stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, and there, they're like, LaCroix is, what are you, French? As the, my dad's favorite catchphrase when he sees something written in cursive. What is this, French?
Fuck you, Dad. I'm French now.
Yeah.
The favorite American insult to anything. What is this, French? Yeah. Like, oh, give up like the French.
Yeah, anyway. The last thing, yeah, the last insult he learned was in like 2002. It was like, what is this, France? He still calls Starbucks France. It's the whole thing. Anytime I'm like, oh yeah, I'm in a Starbucks, he's like, why are you French now?
Because you should be in a Dunkin'?
Because I should be in a Dunkin', right, exactly.
Okay, does that make like coffee bean Switzerland? Like I can go there and it's like pure neutral?
Yeah, like, or Liechtenstein, who knows?
Yeah, I can get diplomatic immunity at this coffee shop.
But I agree, coconut LaCroix, it gets such a bad rap.
It does. It's unnecessary.
Yeah, well, see, in the beginning, I was disgusted by it because the first thing I thought was I was eating like suntan lotion. Like, it just felt chemically coconut. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, though, I do love, like, mounds and stuff like that. I really like coconut flavor. So then one day I was so parched, and the only thing that was in the fridge was a coconut LaCroix, and I drank it so quickly that I, like, got through the barrier where I was like, no, now I love it. It was weird. Before, just my first sample was not
wore
a good
one.
I got one more thing, another myth.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with a finger in the butt.
Oh, okay.
You guys agree?
Trying something new?
No, it's just
it's
like,
always been like that.
It always has to be that way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I just can't get sexually aroused.
Wow.
All right.
Just getting plugged a little bit.
I'm just trying to upset my wife when she listens to this. Here's the thing: is like I've never actually had an orgasm with you before.
This is a cry for help.
Yeah. I blindfold her and I stick a turkey baster in her vagina, and that's how we had our baby.
Because
I just can't.
So
I can't finish without the finger in the butt.
See. We're learning something new every day, and we'll keep this episode so your son can hear this too, so he can.
Well,
know.
Yeah, I mean, podcasts will be around after the nuclear holocaust. Right?
Well, yeah, what we do is we convert everything to vinyl, so even if there's the digital records are wiped, we can still put an old phonograph on, and we'll hand crank it. You can hear.
We got backups, like in Blade Runner 2.
All right, so also now for our first story, Jamie, I want to talk about you because you're a hot topic of conversation around these parts.
I am the story today.
You are the story. Guys, if you don't know, if you follow us on social media, at HamburgerPhone is Jamie Loftus's Twitter handle. And it's a fucking amazing Twitter account. And then during the Olympics, some shit went down, and you have basically been banished from Twitter at the moment.
Yeah, I've been suspended indefinitely.
So you
from Twitter.com.
Were using footage from the Olympics and cutting – like, just explain everybody your predicament.
So I was making these goofy little videos. I got – very into figure skating this round because I am a basic loser.
Uh-huh.
Saw iTanya 500 times. But I was watching all the figure skating. And so what I did was I downloaded videos of figure skaters, Adam Rippon, Mariah Nagasu, whatever. And I would sub out their music with music from like audiobooks.
Right.
Or I had one, my favorite one was Alan Arkin's acceptance speech to Little Miss Sunshine. I was like, wow, it's so crazy. This Russian skater skated to this Oscar acceptance speech. And it was like, I thought
just
it was
a little
funny.
Bit, yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit. People seemed to like it. And I did that for like, I think like 3 or 4 days. And then I woke up one morning, and my account had been suspended. And I was trying to figure out what it was and went into my email, and I had the IOC had International Olympics Committee had filed 6 different complaints against me, like 6 separate ones.
Right.
And so I was going through them because they were very long messages. And they're like, you jacked our shit. We're pit. And I still think this is fair use.
It's right. Parody.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's clearly
parody. I went to a state school, so I know nothing about copyright law, but that strikes me as parody.
I think so. And then I've done research about it since, and I think I have a decent case.
Well, fair use is such a weird thing to argue in court. Like, that's why so many lawyers, when you have corporate gigs making content, they just don't even want to get near. Like, they're like, we don't like to use a fair use argument ever. Just avoid it at all costs or whatever.
And the IOC has like a vice grip on
everything.
Yeah. It's bad. Basically, they were like, we need you to send us 6 different apologies, and then maybe we'll retract our so they asked for individual apologies. Twitter also asked me to send them an apology, and so I sent out 7 apologies, heard nothing. And then I tried Twitter had this thing for a while where it wouldn't look like my account was suspended. It would say that I was blocking people individually. And so then I filed another one. I was like, what's happening? Is there like any how do I know like when it's going to be lifted? And they were like, well, we're not going to lift your suspension until the IOC retracts their complaints. And so, and they won't retract the complaints. So I'm stuck.
Wow.
I'm truly stuck.
I think that's a blessing in disguise, first of all. You don't have to be on Twitter anymore. But number two, this is like a movie. I know you've got, you know, Santa University is your thing.
It's true.
Right?
Which we're looking forward to this Sunday at the Oscars.
Here's another movie you could write. Is
IOC versus Jamie.
Yeah, you speaking at the Supreme Court, defending your right to put Alan Arkin's acceptance speech on some right. figure skating
Alan
videos.
Alan Arkin will be there.
Yeah, this is crazy.
I think it's fine. It'd be a really, really great cameo.
All these character witnesses come to support you. I mean, because they have fucking Nazis on there.
That's,
and they want to
yeah.
come at you because you fucking had some fun with an IOC video. Like, it just doesn't. It, come on. The
How many part. Dudes in the IOC are actual former Nazis?
Right.
Or current Nazis.
Or current, right? Yeah. Exactly. And so you apologize, and now they're like, fuck it. They're just ghosting you.
The IOC entirely ghosted me. I keep trying to call them, but I can't figure out what country they're in. And so they're like, we're closed. I was like, okay. And then I was like, maybe when the Olympics is over, it'll get easier to contact them. They will not contact me. But I'm going to keep – I don't know.
Is there anything we can do?
A petition.
Is there an email address that we can just spam?
There is, yeah.
Or not spam. I don't know if you even want to go – if you want to take it there. But we can put this out.
International Olympic Committee at hotmail.com.
Yeah. IOC at
– The place – it's kind of complicated. I had to like give them incident numbers. But the email I had to keep sending my apologies to that have not responded is operations@friendmts.com.
What is friend
that
MTS? Are you dealing with the IOC? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, we also need your social security number.
Yeah, and
like,
I know a Serbian prince who has $5 million in a Swiss bank account.
And now I need your bank account and sort code.
It's dark, man. And I've had that account since I was a sophomore in high school.
Okay, we got to figure something. Well, this is an ongoing saga.
It is.
Another thing I want to quickly update people on is if you remember one of the last episodes you were on, you had an ongoing back and forth with a man named Swole Sauce.
Swole Sauce,
Facebook, who was getting weird in the comments. You called him out, and then it was like a Venmo war back and forth. He was giving you money. You were giving him money.
I accidentally gave him money.
Now, where are you at with him? Because I know he was like, all right, I'm done being on social media, but – Have you made
Swole
peace?
Swole Sauce and I mean, I feel like we're at there's detente right now because Swole Sauce was getting, I accidentally Venmo'd him $40 when I thought he was Venmoing me $40. He gave my $40 back and then we negotiated it down. He ended up Venmoing me $20.
For insulting your appearance on a Facebook comment.
Is she hot or not? And starting a very triggering debate. Anyways. So Swole Sauce is now coming to my show in New York a week from Monday. And
we're going to
meet IRL.
Yo, so if anybody's in New York, where can they see you there at your New York show?
Union Hall, March 9th. I'll be doing a show there. And Swole Sauce.
A week from today.
A week from today, yeah.
Okay.
And
Swole Sauce is opening for you?
Swole Sauce and I are going to do a little soft shoe to open the show.
Nice.
I don't know. If he's not actually Swole.
You'll be broken.
Or Sauce.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I'll leave. A walk.
We'll wait and see.
I'm so intrigued that I feel like I need to get on a plane for this.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
I will use mileage to go to see this.
What's going
to
happen? I don't know.
Well, we'll check in with you.
I bet he's really short.
We'll see. Well, hey, look, we don't know. We'll know when we know.
We'll know.
All right, with that, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Zach gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone. Transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system. Or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we are back. Now, I know the last, you know, obviously on this show, we talk a lot about the fuckery that goes on with the GOP and Republicans in general. But today I need to put the spotlight on some Democrats, because a lot of these Democrats ain't shit. And let's remember that, because politics in this country is so fucking just, it's just off and disheartening. But this one in particular is just very sad, or I don't know, par for the course. Because if you remember Tim Kaine, the senator from Virginia who ran with
former
Hillary Clinton.
VP nom.
Yeah. VP nom. You know, he was a, you know, he always touted his experience as being a civil rights lawyer or attorney, and also, you know, helping people of color who were searching for home loans but were facing discriminatory practices, like saying he helped them. Well, now he is kind of just being one of those regular Democrats that's just caping for the banks, because now he's one of 12 Democrats who's sponsoring a Senate bill that will deliberately basically undermine the government's ability to enforce laws against racial discrimination in the housing market. And the legislation specifically would block the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, from just basically gathering data that shows when and where families of color are being overcharged for home loans or steered into predatory products. Because most people, especially, like, there was a study in 2016 from the National Bureau of Economic Research. It found that Hispanic Americans are 78% more likely to be given a high-cost mortgage, and Black Americans are 105% more likely to face that kind of shit. Which is basically, it's like redlining, essentially. And if you don't know what redlining is, we'll probably have to do a show about that. But just look that up, because that's sort of how we were segregating people after we were sort of integrated, so to speak, in this country. So I guess now it's just very disheartening, because when you look at these numbers, this data, it basically helps keep banks honest from discriminating people who are just trying to get home loans. And again, it's just for people like Tim Kaine, who are coming out saying, like, oh, yeah, well, I'm the civil rights attorney, to just go back and then support a bill like this is kind of stupid. Now, this bill isn't specific to this thing. It's part of a much bigger deregulation bill. But again, we don't need deregulation when it comes to the banks at all, in my opinion. And that's me. I'm not an economist. I'm just some angry dude with a podcast. Anyway, I wanted to throw that out there.
Time out. Are you saying banks are not honest?
Well, God, don't corner me into hot take.
I love the banks. I love the banks.
I love the banks. I love the IOC. I love the banks.
I'm chilling for the banks.
Here's the thing, okay? Banks are some of my best friends. I invited a bank to my wedding. And Chase Bank came. And
Chase was your best man.
They sponsored the wedding. Dave and Maddie's wedding sponsored by Chase. It's just like Madison Square Garden.
And then you guys left in a Wells Fargo
No, man, carriage. we're not crossing brands, dog. When that shit's branded, it's branded.
It's JP Morgan only, homie.
That's right. That's what I'm rocking right now.
Yeah, but I guess, again, I think it's important to bring up because it's very easy, like, comparative. To think that, oh, Democrats are great or whatever. No, right. Like, this country is still very fucked up, and we have many problems beyond what's going on in the White House. And I just want to call a couple people out by name because many of our listeners live all across the country. It's not just Tim Kaine. It's Michael Bennett in Colorado. It's Tom Carper in Delaware. It's Chris Coons in Delaware. We shouldn't be surprised by the people from Delaware.
Chris Coons, first of all, that name is wrong.
He needs a rebrand.
Change that name.
Joe Donnelly in Indiana, Heidi Heitkamp, North Dakota, Doug Jones in Alabama, obviously Tim Kaine, Angus King in Maine, Joe Manchin in West Virginia, Claire McCaskill. I'm surprised. Come on, Claire. Gary Peters in Michigan, John Tester in Montana, and Mark Warner in Virginia. So, guys, please reach out to your senators if you live in those states because this doesn't help anybody.
And I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know the history of this particular law at all, but I can't imagine how hard it must have been to pass in the first place.
Right.
I'd
imagine that things like this were probably maybe have come. I don't know when exactly they implemented this. I mean, if it's the CFPB, it was probably sometime around the financial collapse. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm failed to see what the benefit is in this. And like when they asked Tim Kaine's like office, they're like, well, you know, he's trying to help smaller lenders, like not talking about this point specifically, even though the question was about that. And then they pivoted to be like, well, you know, Tim Kaine has always fought for working people and was a civil rights attorney. It's like,
Except when he doesn't mean shit. Dude, yeah. Tim Kaine, I mean, it's weird because Tim Kaine does have like his look is very much like, I know I look like every bad person you've ever met, but actually I am good.
Right.
Like,
I look like a JCPenney polo shirt model, but First of all, Doug Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was so stoked that Doug Jones won in Alabama,
right.
But he's still from Alabama.
He has to basically vote like a Republican.
Yeah,
still.
So it's like he's not going to vote across party lines on everything. This is not going to happen.
Yeah, and a lot of these people are red state. I mean, not a lot, but there are many red state Democrats on there, like Joe Manchin, obviously, and John Tester and things like that. You can understand because they've always had to slightly vote that way because re-election, guys, they're only, you know, they want to stay in office.
I would be remiss to not mention that Doug Jones is the name of the actor who plays the fish from The Shape of Water.
That's right.
I had to say it.
Oh, wow. Your Piscean obsession.
My Piscean tryst. There's a good Doug Jones and a bad Doug Jones. The good Doug Jones has a fish's ass. Do not call him. Leave him alone. Call Doug Jones
call
in Alabama.
Call Senator Doug Jones.
Who's fucking up.
Yeah, who beat Roy Moore.
I just have to look out
for
my boyfriend.
I hear you.
My
hear
boyfriend,
you.
The fish's butt.
No, I appreciate that because it's, you know, it's all about protecting the innocent.
Also, Tim Kaine saying I'm a civil rights attorney and here are all the things I've done before is like, it's like Dwayne Wade saying, well, you know, I used to score 20 points a game.
Right.
But not anymore.
Yeah.
But I used to.
It's like Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, let's move on because, guys, speaking of Doug Jones and the honorable Doug Jones, who is the fish man.
The fish's ass.
The fish's ass.
Yeah.
The Oscars are this Sunday, I guess. Have you heard of this?
Perfect transition.
Boy.
Yeah. Have you heard of this? Have you guys heard about this?
I've heard about the Oscars.
That was Jay Leno. That was a terrible Jay Leno.
I thought you were doing Sandler.
Hey, guys.
This is him.
This
is happening.
The hand
Oscars.
Motion.
Yeah, anyway.
It's like an ASMR video. God.
And you can hear my dry mouth. So the Oscars are coming up this Sunday. And I know you guys are very big film buffs. You especially are obsessed with one film, or what your obsessions this year are The Shape of Water and mostly I, Tonya. Though,
I, Tonya, right? I've seen nine times.
Nine times now?
Nine times now. One time for every time 50 Cent has been shot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it would be tight if there was a movie about a figure skating fish person.
Oh, mashup.
Wow, that would be, yeah,
hey, don't get
directly
these,
for me.
These ideas out
I'm
on
like, just
air,
email man. That to me only. Yeah. Don't bother putting it
all right,
it
scrap
there.
Santa University.
People are listening to this show.
I fish ya. So the Oscars are happening, and, you know, our writer, J.M. McNabb, he pointed out to sort of a very, the sort of right-wing-ish, kind of creepy history of the Oscars in general, because the Oscars were started by Louis B. Mayer, who was the head of MGM at the time. And, you know, he kind of started it for very weird reasons. First of all, Louis B. Mayer is a very controversial figure.
He is a pervert. Like, yeah. He's a serious, like an old school Hollywood pervert.
For example, at one point, there was an actress who, like, refused his crude advances, and she later married an agent. So guess what he did? He banned her husband and all of his clients from ever being in a film in his studio. Because he's like the OG Harvey Weinstein, I guess. And he's also, you know, reportedly was like groped a teenage Judy Garland while she was making
for sure, yeah.
Wizard of Oz.
And like drugged children, you know, like insisted that children be drugged and overworked and yeah.
Right. So now let's get to what the Oscars happened. So this man, it all kind of started with him wanting to make a beach house. Like he really wanted to build a beach house. And he was just such a cheap asshole. He basically had the idea to get like the set builders from MGM to build a real house instead of like a set. And like the logic was like, hey, you know, like there's a quote here from the daughter. His daughter, Irene, was like sort of like, when we need a set at the studio, we build it overnight. We need a big village. We build it in weeks. You know, don't be at the mercy of those contracts. Don't start with the architects. With us, it's business. It gets done. I'll talk to the people at the studio. And their logic was, well, if they can build a fake house real quick, then let's just do this real one. And then as it was happening, it turned out the crew, the set builders union, like the deal that they had meant it would actually be like way more expensive to do like an outside job that wasn't particularly pertaining to a motion picture production. So that basically rubbed him the wrong way. And Mayer got really freaked out about film industry workers unionizing. Oh, really? So in a measure to sort of stave off like the unionization of directors and actors and writers,
yeah.
Mayer created the Academy. So yes, so now this gave him a lot more control because it was supposed to be like this sort of impartial body. Like he sort of came up to like actors and directors, writers, technicians and producers like, yo, if you can like sign on as an Academy member, we're going to improve working conditions and you're going to be part of an elite organization to sort of like go around them unionizing. But there's no way this was going to be impartial because it's basically only looking out for the studios. So right. It slogged on and delayed a lot of serious labor negotiations in Hollywood for years. And so this strategy, like not surprisingly, was fully endorsed by the communist-hating Republicans at the time who did everything they could to basically just support this Academy. Basically later on, Mayer said that the best way to handle filmmakers was just to hang medals all over them. So this is a quote from him at the time. He said, I found that the best way to handle movie makers was to hang medals all over them. If I got them cups and awards, they'd kill themselves to produce what I wanted. That's why the Academy Award was created.
So, that tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
That tracks.
As someone who has been to the Academy Awards ceremony before,
mm-hmm.
That's the most overrated thing is the Oscars.
Oh, yes.
The Oscars are
boring.
Boring. Number one, they're really long. You're in these little tiny, you know, theater seats all night. They ply you with alcohol to make you forget what you're watching.
I love this.
Wait, they just give you free drinks.
Wait, yes. Do you have to go like into the lobby to get alcohol?
Here's the deal. Let me give you the skinny on the Oscars.
Okay.
Okay. Let me peel Schilling. Back the curtain.
Ooh, yeah.
The shilling.
Peel
exclusive.
The onion.
The shill exclusive. So I was up, you know, in the nosebleeds mm-hmm. with all the like rich farmers and people who like give out free suits and stuff.
Right, right,
like,
right.
Oh, yeah, no, I work for a beverage company and I sell beverages and I'm friends with someone and I got free tickets to the Oscars. What
right.
a fun time. I'm from Nebraska. So you go up, you're getting your seat, and then you come out to get drinks. There are bars on every level
right.
of the Dolby Theater. But the real shitty part about it is that you can only go out and then come back in during the commercials. Even though
right,
I'm
right,
not
right.
on camera at all. I'm too
Weird.
High to ever be seen.
Right, right,
they
right.
lock the doors during the ceremony. So you have a minute and a half, 2 minutes to get out, get a drink,
right.
drink it, and go back.
Yeah, that's the same as the Golden Globes.
Or to use the bathroom.
Right, right.
Like if I missed all of the Spectre song. Was that Sam Smith?
Oh, really?
Like, I was so excited to see that because I'm a big James Bond guy. Missed the whole thing because I took too long taking a leak, and they locked me out of the ceremony.
That was like me missing Oprah's speech at the Golden Globes because I was at the bar, and they closed the doors, and I was like, oh,
wow.
Shit.
Why do they close the doors?
Because I think it just, for production purposes, it's like, you know, they're locking it up, and it's easier
We've got a lot of award show privilege at this table.
I know.
I might as well be on the street watching the show on closed-circuit television because you can't see me, so let me go as I please.
Right. And again, I was at the Golden Globes because of my mother, okay? Not because I earned it.
Listen, if listen, if anyone ever wants to invite me to something, I'll show up. I'll stand outside a door. I'll wait outside. I'll do what it
Maybe
takes.
Next year I'll take it. We'll go to the Golden Globes.
Yeah. You know, if someone's going to give me a free PBR, I'll show up.
I'll go wherever.
There's no PBR at the Oscars, unfortunately.
Stand comedian, that's how I'm usually paid. I'm very used to receiving PBR instead of money.
They don't even have coconut LaCroix for
Yeah,
concerts.
I mean, it's Christ bullshit. Almighty. It's subpar, the conditions for the people there.
The real question is Alfred Molina invited to the Oscars, even though he did not participate in good movie this
year?
Yeah,
well, I think he should be. If people...
You were sitting near him at the Golden Globes.
I was. And I wanted to creep him out on your behalf, and I was like, he won't get what I'm trying to do, and I'll just look weird. But just to sort of wrap up this story about the Oscars, so basically they knew that this whole Oscar thing was a sort of a sham, and they started unionizing anyway. But they were actually, because as the Oscars got more and more popular, it got sort of a little bit away from Louis B. Mayer, and the unions could actually make a moment out of refusing to go to protest their working conditions. So by around the 30s, it began to backfire on him. And so in a way, it actually helped strengthen the unions later on. And now we have the many, you know, the SAGs and the WGAs and DGAs, what have you, PGAs, all those guilds and unions, thanks to this first move. There's a really interesting podcast about it on Battleship Retention that we'll link to that you can also listen to. But anyway, so yes, has a very dark past. Clearly. I mean, if Hollywood is bad now, can you imagine what it was like 90 years ago?
If you do any deep dive on Louis B. Mayer, there's so much stuff.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, even the biography, A&E biography special starts off as like, he made Hollywood. Then the second point was like, it was filled with abuse and manipulation. And like, you're like, oh, God.
Louis B. Mayer's terrifying fuck pun.
right.
It was just awful.
So, guys, getting to the Oscars at present, I just want to – I know since you guys love the Oscars, I just want to throw it to y'all. Any predictions, anything you want to see? Like, the red carpet will be something because I know there will be the Me Too. People are planning some kind of moment. I don't know exactly what it is. But also, the other topic is Ryan Seacrest being on the carpet because the allegations were a little more specific now that his stylist – was making up that he was grinding his erect penis against her while clad only in his underwear, groping her vagina, and at one point slapping her buttocks so hard it left a large welt.
We were talking about this before, like the fact that language and descriptions like that are so normalized now, like even in the past couple months where it's like every single day you're encountering a pretty explicit description of something like that is just... I mean, it's good that we are it's just interesting that it has become normal. Like, because if you saw language like this even a year ago, you'd be like, holy shit. And this is sort of a story that I think is like kind of flying under the radar.
Yeah, because there's been totally.
So much. Yeah.
And I think most people in America, maybe not in Los Angeles, but most people across the country thought, isn't he gay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't Ryan Seacrest gay?
That's the weird assumption a lot of people make. I think Jennifer Lawrence, like she said when she was asked about him, she's like, honestly, I can't even picture him being sexual. People just have this really interesting perception of him because he's such a like host like guy that you don't even know if he's a human, even like whether or not he.
You know, I get the vibe from him like a Ken doll, like a smooth.
Yeah,
lump.
Like does he even have a penis?
A smooth lump that maybe gets hot.
I think he's a hosting cyborg created by Fox or whatever network shit him out.
Up next, I'm going to slap your buttocks so hard that it makes a welt. Tune in.
Your programming is off. So predictions, guys. Are you looking forward to any awards specifically, Dave?
You know, as a black man in America, I'm very excited about Darkest Hour. Because I haven't seen it, but I assume there's a lot of black people in it because of the title. So I'm rooting for that to win.
Okay.
Other than that, you know what? I'm going to be on a plane.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. I have to go to Seattle tomorrow, and I'll be coming back Sunday night, and so I'll be watching the entire thing in an airplane.
Oh.
I have not watched the Oscars since I went. Last year, I was watching it in a bar, a pinball bar in New York.
Okay.
And was furiously tweeting because you got to get those likes.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you won't be, but I will be.
Ring the alarm.
I really enjoyed live tweeting the Oscars last year.
Just do it from BechdelCast.
I'll be doing stand-up comedy in Indianapolis.
Oh, so you won't even know what happens with I, Tonya, your favorite.
It's not going to get anything. But that's because the world is mean. And no, we got to give it to three bilbies.
I'm
we
got to give it to
I hate bilbies. It. I hate it. I have started rating things of like, what would you give that on a scale of 1 to 3 billboards?
Oh, that's a 3B for sure.
That's a 3 bilby. 3 bilby.
Bilby Baggins.
come to my award show, The Bilbies. I won all 3 bilbies this year. I had a great year.
The bilby started off wonderful and then it got real racist at the end.
Yeah, fuck that movie. I will say about I, Tonya, there are 10 spots. You can nominate up to 10 movies for Best Picture every year. 9 were used this year. I, Tonya was not nominated.
Ugh.
I think that sucks. The Post?
Yeah.
Darkest Hour? First of all, I don't understand what this like prevalent thought in Hollywood is. Like, if we don't make a movie about Britain during World War II, if we don't make 40 of those movies a year, we have to shut it down. We can't. the whole thing falls apart. Also, Gary Oldman, which I can't say it enough, hit his wife. Like, he's a bad person. Is one of those weird Johnny Depp like characters who are like, yeah, me too, but not him.
Right.
He gets a big trophy, which I think he will, and I don't know.
Hey, you know what? All the bad things aside that he's done, I think it's cool that he grew into his last name to the point where it is now a descriptor.
That is
Gary
Old Man. Yeah.
That's like if my last name was Cool Guy. Like, that's awesome.
Isn't Schilling whatever Schilling is for Cool Guy?
Yeah, it's Flemish for Cool Guy.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. We all know now. So I guess I hope Get Out gets something. I hope so.
Yeah, I think that would be exciting. Amazing.
Also, there was like a piece someone wrote. They're like, who is Jordan Peele's wife or whatever? And it's like everybody else was like in L.A. was like, fucking Chelsea Peretti. Like you don't know who that is.
She's a nice lady. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. Unless do you guys have anything else to add to the Oscars?
The Oscars are dumb.
I would like to give 3 bilbies to the fish from The Shape of Water's ass, the peak 2018.
I'm telling you, that is not his real ass. I'm sorry.
It's
like Kim Kardashian's butt. It's not real.
It's not the real article.
I will find him.
So you think it's a butt double?
No, I'm just saying.
A CG butt?
No,
CG butt.
He's got a latex prosthetic butt. He's got some padding on there.
He looks like a pretty skinny guy. I'm like, it would be hard to have that butt and have that be. But I have to believe in magic still. That's what the movies are about.
Hashtag God's plan.
Was it as good as Kit Harington's butt?
Oh, yeah, that's a nice butt.
That was real butt.
Wait till y'all see mine.
Oh.
I'm pulling that out before the show.
All right, we'll let you know where to find that on Twitter.
It's real.
Coming up. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and because it is Friday, you know what time it is. It's time for Bloid Watch. You know, because everybody be looking at the tabloids when you go to the store, and even if you just read it, you might think, well, maybe Camilla Parker Bowles did go insane. But we'll talk about that. So, guys, let's first talk about some of the cover stories. Let's see, in InTouch, they are trying to say that Megan had a surprise bachelorette party that Kate Middleton surprised. Oh, aren't they BFFs? And they drink a ton of $5,000 wine. Yep. What else? Kelly Clarkson thinks wine is necessary. That's just a quote on the cover.
I love it. I love wine is necessary.
Yeah.
And if you go to that article, that's the whole thing.
Oh, really?
It's just how she feels.
Yeah. So you like wine? Yeah. Great.
I do.
That's going to make it on the cover.
Two-page spread.
See, that's big wine infiltrating the tabloids, and we can talk about that later. In OK Magazine, there's another thing about Middleton is now planning the entire royal wedding. We love the royals here. Let's see, Jennifer Aniston and Angelina, they talked on the phone about how to avoid each other during Oscar season.
Well, time out. Can I ask a question here?
Yes.
Okay, so they need to avoid each other, but they're talking on the phone about how to do it?
It's always like insiders say.
I have a lot of enemies in this town,
mm-hmm.
in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, and I don't talk to them on the phone. I don't even talk to my friends on the phone.
Right.
I'm not going to take time out of my day to say, hello, enemy? Yes. How should we avoid each other? Well, first of all, don't call me. That's the best way to avoid me.
You got my fucking number, enemy?
Yeah. Hang up.
Have you ever done that during like a bad breakup, though, of like called someone and been like, how are we going to avoid each other? At stand-up comedy
like how do we
shows.
How do we split time?
Yeah.
Luckily, I've never dated anybody that was exactly in my social circle or scene, so
so you're a smart person.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
I don't know if I'm smart. Yeah, I don't know.
I
also don't have many friends.
My solution for this problem is to just be more successful than my ex.
Yeah.
Ooh,
exactly.
That is a great, yeah.
Yeah.
Flex on them. Yep. Flex on the ex, as we say over here. And I guess with another thing is Katie Holmes and Jamie Foxx, it could be over, because he is communicating with his ex, who he has a child with. So I don't know if that's really a reason to break up, but anyway, shout outs to them. And then just through like the really shitty tabloids,
we're talking like toilet paper.
Yeah. The ones like the Globe, the Inquirer, the Examiner. So the Globe, it just straight up garbage. Somehow they're saying the Olympics were rigged against Adam Rippon, despite him fucking flaming Mike Pence on Twitter.
Because the
owner of these tabloids is a good Trump ally, so you'd figure they'd be like, Adam Rippon eats fucking children in Korea or some shit. But they didn't. They're like, he got robbed.
He's just that charismatic.
Yeah, thanks for caping for him. And again, Camilla put in a mental ward because she had a gin-fueled meltdown. I don't know. There, again, it's all speculation. And my favorite is the one about no one has – I think for the last year – there have been – every other week they try and figure out that a new redheaded man is actually Prince Harry's dad. And this time it's this guy, Mark Dyer, who just like worked with Diana once or something. It's very, very weird. But again, every story like this is always like, and Prince Charles is insanely jealous of their relationship. It's like
– Harry's real dad is Carrot Top, everyone.
Yeah.
No wonder he's such a laugh riot.
By next year that – or but even by next week, that's probably going to be it. Or like Ron Howard or some shit.
At a young age, he was obsessed with props.
Yeah. God, how old would have Carrot Top been in 1984 or 83?
Carrot Top, he would have been a young buck, right?
Yeah, he would have been just right for making babies.
Yeah, performing in the court for Princess Diana.
Highly fertile.
Yeah. Never look up Carrot Top's net worth. You'll have to just leap out of the nearest window.
Oh, yeah, he's making big money, isn't he?
He's got Vegas
money.
Can you just
tell me, hit me with when you do Carrot Top's
net worth? I'm sorry, I have to close 5 fish ass tabs before I'm able to tell you Carrot Top's net worth. There's even being on the Daily Zeitgeist just makes your search history a disaster.
Right.
$75 million.
Hell yeah.
How accurate are those really, though?
And not very.
They're not really based on bank records. It's like what people kind of foresee them being worth, right?
That's when you know you've made it in Hollywood, is if you start Googling yourself and the net worth comes up as a suggestion.
Right.
What about Wiki Feets?
That too. If my toesies are on the internet, I'm too famous.
Is that people's feet?
That's legit a 2018 goal of mine. I want to get on WikiFeets.
I can see your feet right now, too.
I'm trying to get on WikiFeets.
Oh, yeah. Just take a picture.
Did you walk in here barefoot?
It?
Like, no. The moment I saw you coming in the office, you didn't have shoes on, and I was like, oh, okay.
It's because it was raining outside. My shoes got wet.
Oh, gotcha. Were you wearing Chuck Taylor or something?
Those are the shoes.
I was in, soggy shoes.
Yeah, you don't want that. Okay.
It's too bad.
Okay, I'm not trying to barefoot shame out here.
Yeah.
Because we need the bare feet.
Put me on WikiFeet.
Put her on WikiFeet.
Most people avoid it. I welcome it. I'm ready.
Do you want to talk about something to do with hockey, something near and dear to your heart?
Oh, yeah, the big hockey breakup. I don't know why celebrities keep marrying hockey players as if they have a thought in their brain, but Carrie Underwood's heartbreak, pregnant and alone, in Star this week, is a really good story because it's not about how, like, her husband's cheating on her. It's all about how he just wants to play hockey and it's ruining their marriage. Like, it's crazy how a freak random accident. So Carrie Underwood tripped outside her house and needed stitches. And then her husband wanted to start playing hockey again, and this was the worst thing that had happened to both of them.
Wow.
They became stronger than ever for a while, but now it seems like their marriage is falling apart. As soon as Carrie started to feel better, Mike began plotting his return to hockey.
You mean his job?
Yeah.
The
thing he loves to do?
I love when people marry hockey players because they are notoriously – They're little puck brains. They're doofuses.
Oh man, I played hockey for a long time. I'm no puck brain.
You're no.
That's why you're here,
you're
not playing hockey.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because you weren't obsessed with it.
It's like they were excited about having another baby, but Carrie thought Mike wasn't going to be playing hockey and would be around to help.
Hockey's destroying lives, guys.
It's I know, and I mean, look no further than Hillary Duff.
Yeah, right.
Hockey ruined her life.
So. Anna, you also saw something very disturbing in one of the magazines, and I'm sorry that I even handed you this magazine.
Thank you again for having me, Miles.
Yes. Well, you're thank you for having me.
So,
really what I
if
say.
You don't know, I produce a Bachelor podcast.
Yes, we
and
know.
I produce a Bachelor podcast.
Yes, we know.
Wait, what was that? Can you say that one more time?
Tell me.
I produce a Bachelor podcast.
Go on.
I am very sensitive to spoilers. Me and my hosts have been trying to go fully spoiler-free. And Miles hands me this tabloid.
Unwittingly.
On the cover is a spoiler to this season, which is not over yet. The Ari Lyon Dyke Jr. season is not over yet. And I do believe, because of Women Tell All, one of the women on the show says something to Ari like, I know what you did, which I think caused a stir in the world where every single person and their mother searched for spoilers. So now tabloids think it's okay to spoil the show, which it is not.
Nope.
Some of us live true. We live pure. We don't look for spoilers.
Anna's flaming the blood.
She's so pounding the table.
You're breathing very heavily. I hope you're wearing diapers in your armpits.
I am sweating.
Jack's got stairs upstairs. Don't worry.
I almost jumped right off our balcony. Swan dived out when Miles put this on my desk.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, because you went... You had a visceral response, and I didn't know because, you know, I don't know anything about The Bachelor, and you're like, I can't believe this.
She walked towards the nearest pane of glass.
Yes.
Just walked right through it.
I couldn't believe that they would do that. They think it's okay. It's not okay.
So what magazine should true Bachelor fans avoid?
This is Us Weekly. Avoid it. If you see an Us Weekly, you see Ari on the cover, do not read the headline. It is a legitimate spoiler. And if you're trying to stay spoiler-free like me, God bless you.
You should read Star because they let SlimFast rent out their front page every single week.
And I do want to say one of the girls he picks, her ex-fiance, was a hockey player.
Oh, no.
Full circle.
Maybe they should have a hockey player be the next Bachelor.
I think that we should have
Sidney Crosby.
We should have a Zamboni season of The Bachelor where it's all these hot women who are like, you know what? I'm going to give him a chance.
You should watch The Bachelor Winter Games because there was a few Zambonis in there.
Yeah,
there
it was really friggin' good. It was really friggin' good.
Dude, there were some really great profiles written about Olympic Zamboni drivers that if you want a good cry, read The Life of a Zamboni. Like, any Zamboni driver's life is like the wildest, saddest thing you'll ever read. It's the best.
When I played hockey, the guy who drove the Zamboni at one of the rinks I first started playing at, he was like, he always smelled like cigarettes. And he just looked really, I could tell it was like a thankless job because I'm like, we're all having fun. And then he would sit on there and just wait. And then come out.
Zamboni driver, it's weird. I'm like, it's no one's like first career, but every Zamboni driver has like this, like they look, I'm like, you've lived. Like what, where were you doing? The guy, when I worked at an ice rink, we had a one arm Zamboni driver who was constantly, he was insecure about having one arm. And so he would try to like lean into it and be funny. He's like, just call me One Arm Steve. And everyone was like, no.
Like, we're fine with Steve.
I'm trying not to look at you, bro.
Yeah. I'm not trying
You're bumming everyone out.
I'm not trying to limb shame you out here. All right. Well, guys, before we go, I really want to talk about the local news that everybody was tweeting at me because earlier this week I said I put a call out to the Zeit Gang and I was like, yo, tell me what's going on locally about stuff we can cover. And my goodness, did you guys come through because I have been inundated with many great stories from the serial killer Bruce MacArthur in Toronto, who was preying on the homeless and vulnerable in the LGBT community in Toronto and burying people in people's flower beds because he was a landscaper, to the eco-conscious coffee shop in Toronto that was secretly funding a climate change denial organization, racism against Haitians in the Dominican Republic, Germans being worried about the rise of our far-right neo-Nazi rhetoric in this country. Politicians in New Zealand having a sense of humor and like making statue versions of themselves, to the Baltimore Gun Task Force, which we touched on very lightly at one point, but yeah, they're planting toy guns on people or robbing drug dealers. There has been so much really great news. So I think what this has really made me realize is that we need to carve out some time to really kind of do a deep dive on some of your guys' stories, because I don't want to just regurgitate what you guys say at me wholesale, because I want to make sure we're at least giving some form of objective truth. So what we will do now is please tweet any news story that you have that you want us to take a look at. Use the hashtag TDZ News. Hashtag TDZ News.
Ooh, there's a new account?
No, this is just a hashtag people use.
Oh,
because everyone was...
You wouldn't know about Twitter.
Brain is melting. I miss it.
You should actually leave the room because we're talking about the Twitter.
I'm soiling myself, but sure.
please send any news with that hashtag. That way everybody on the Daily Zeitgeist team can kind of go through the stories and we can kind of go through them more, because my goodness, you guys are very tapped in. And I mean, even like there was a story that someone was sending me from a baseball player in Colorado. He was trying to get into a baseball program at a Texas college. And they're like, hi, sorry, we can't accept you because we have a problem with a lot of athletes from your state and drug tests. And we're just not interested in having any potential drug problems. You can thank the liberal politicians in your state for that. Like,
whoa.
So there's just shit like that. So, yes, I would like, this is great stuff. please keep sending it. And I don't mean to say that one story is more or less important than the other, but this is a great source, auxiliary source of news for us to also consider. And also to clarify, when I say objective truth, I don't mean to say that you guys are sending me propaganda or bullshit. I'm just saying we love to read everything about it so that way we can do our research too, because we just want to make sure we're telling everybody, like, you know, the full story, and we can get everybody just as interested or outraged when appropriate. So, guys, thank you, and please send more links to hashtag TDZ News. And, yeah, we'll start talking about some of your stories because we love y'all. So with that, guys, we're going to have to end it there because it's Friday.
Wait a minute. What? I had, like, five other news stories to talk about. The guy in the Uber that got – see, he had to go home. Yeah. He went home. Oh, I want to talk about him.
Tell that one really quick.
Okay, so he was drunk because that's what people do on weekends when they don't have babies and wives to take care of. And then he got an Uber, but he was so drunk that he got an Uber back to his childhood home, and it ended up being like $1,500
because
he blacked out for 2 hours in the car. It was hilarious.
Yeah, he blacked out and got a $1,600 Uber thing.
Now he's complaining because he says that he didn't put the address in, that the guy did it for him, and it's all bad. It's
don't
all
blame
bad.
The Uber driver. Yeah, good lord.
They have a hard enough life. They're like basically Zamboni drivers, okay?
Yeah.
They're weathered. But no, I feel like most Uber drivers still got dreams. Zamboni drivers,
they do. I mean, I feel like Ubering in LA is the new, like, being a server at a restaurant, because everyone I talk to is always like, I'll go to UCB and they're like, oh, you do comedy too? And I'm like, you do comedy? Like, yeah, I'm about to get on a Herald team or whatever. I'm like, oh, dope. Like, so.
Yeah.
Guys, I mean, yeah, please don't blame
me. Show me an Uber driver that's not in Improv 301.
Yeah, and also, the guy from the Uber story, he said, quote, we went to a frat party and then went to the bar. I was getting drinks all night. I probably spent like $200 at the bar after already drinking all day. And then he's like, basically, I kind of just blacked out. The last thing I remember was being at the bar, and then I just woke up in the Uber next to an older dude telling me I was an hour out from Jersey.
What a dirtbag.
Yeah, you just got super fucked up. You blacked out, and you just did one of those things where people are like, go home. And they're like, what's your address? And his muscle memory is probably like his childhood home.
Yeah, yeah, man, take the L and move on.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. So, Dave, where can people find you, support you, observe you, love you?
At Hamburger Phone on Twitter. No, I'm at Dave_Schilling. You can read my sports takes on Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
I'm on the Masked Man Show on the Ringer Podcast Network if you are into professional wrestling, which no one in this room is.
I love the Big Show.
I'm early.
There you go.
I'm
met the
days.
Big Show. Oh, I did a profile of him. He's a sweet guy. He vapes.
I knew he vapes.
Because he used to be a smoker.
Yeah. And he used to, like, eat pizza.
He used to eat pizza, too. Yeah, it's cool. That's it. Yeah, those are my plugs.
Perfect. Jamie Loftus.
Zeitgang, I call upon you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
I want my Twitter account back. I've already written about it. I'm going to continue writing about it. People have been using the hashtag free Jamie. I would encourage you to perhaps use it if you feel strongly about me tweeting about... the fish, I mean, mainly of fish's ass Zambonis. I want my Twitter back.
Yeah, we got to figure
out. I want my Twitter back.
If any of you guys know somebody at Twitter, too, I mean, we're looking at it from our end.
Or if anyone knows a better way for me to get in contact with the IOC, because they...
Rather at friendsmts.org or whatever.
I'm writing these really pathetic, debasing emails to this email account at friendsmts, and I don't know if anyone's seeing it.
Man, well, look, we'll have to sidebar and we'll figure out a real coordinated effort that we can do to try and free the handle.
Okay. Free the handle.
Free Jamie
Free
Loftus.
The handle, free the world.
Anna Hosnier, what about you?
I produce a Bachelor podcast.
Yep.
Oh, do you?
It's called Will You Accept This Rose? Please listen to it. We have so much fun. No spoilers. It's such a good time. We have great celebrity guests who also love The Bachelor. Dave was
I've
on
been
it
on
once.
There, yeah.
Yeah.
We talked
so
last season.
Fun.
It was so fun.
Yeah, and you can listen to my other podcast, Ethnically Ambiguous, which is also on the How Stuff Works Network. Our next episode is so fun. I talk about the Iran-Contra affair. What's that? Damn good time is
Dude,
what it is.
Yeah. Sick video game by Konami.
Yeah, that was not Iran-Contra.
Oh, it's just regular Contra. Yeah. Oh, my bad. Yeah, I get it mixed up.
Wait, can I plug Bechdelcast? I forgot. I got two.
No, Jamie, we'll have to move on. But I guess for you, yes.
Wait, you should listen to the Bechdelcast.
100%.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We just released our Black Panther episode.
Yeah, with Iffy
and Naomi Ekperigin, and it is one of my faves we've ever done.
So check out the Black Panther episode of BechdelCast.
All right. Yeah. And if you're looking for me, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. If you're looking for the show, you can follow us on Twitter at just Daily Zeitgeist. If you want us on Instagram, it's at The Daily Zeitgeist. We're on Facebook. Just search for it. And if you want to, you know, check out our website, that's http://www.dailyzeitgeist.com.
Quick question.
DailyZeitgeist.com.
How do I find a Daily Zeitgeist on AOL? What's the keyword?
Oh, a keyword is DZ.
There you go.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
For all my AOL homies
we're
out there.
We're in the entertainment
Jeeves,
channel.
What if you're one of Jeeves' babes?
If you're a Jeeves babe, yeah. Then you ask it, where do I find Daily Zeitgeist? And
Excuse
Jeeves
me?
Will bring it up.
Excuse me, Jeeves.
But yeah, go to our website because there you can find all the articles that we talk about and also the songs that you like so much and also our footnotes.
Footnotes.
There you go. Thank you so much, baby producer. That's Anna's character that she's been working on.
Hello.
Yeah, so check us out there. You can also find old shows there as well. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week. It's been a real adventure without Jack O'Brien in the captain's seat. Thank you so much to my guests and guest hosts this week, Andrew T., Edgar Montplaisir, Dan O'Brien, Lacey Mosley, and to you, Jamie Loftus, our queen of leeches. Yeah, it's been really fun, and Jack should be back Monday, and we'll get back to the regular old thing. So with that, guys, have a great weekend.
Paternity leave.
And to play us out, I just want to play a legendary artist, the Parliament, Funkadelic, Mr. George Clinton. Because, you know, Afrofuturism has come back in a big way since Black Panther, but I just want to give shout-outs to Parliament because the P-Funk Earth Tour was a legendary tour, one that I actually took an entire college course on. But there is a song, Swing Down, Sweet Chariot, that was performed at the Oakland Coliseum in 1977, where basically George just gives the mic over to Glenn Goins, who is one of his backup singers with a powerful voice at the age of 24. He died like within a year of this recording of lymphoma, very tragically. But this song is actually one of the main samples for Dr. Dre's Let Me Ride. And just listen to this voice because Glenn Goins, I mean, he takes it to church and they talk about the mothership coming for everybody. Just, it's a beautiful song. So we'll take that to take us away. And thank you so much, guys. We'll see you next week.
Free your mind.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.